The K Jazz Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
Musical explorations and conversation take center stage in this third and final hour of today's gathering. Marwan Alam's debut, Bab Bahar, combines Arabic, North African, and Andalusian forms with modern jazz to create a synthesis which sets the musical languages of traditional within the framework of the new. The album is named after the gate that connects old and new cities of Tunis, and Alam's compositions build a bridge, you know, between old music and the new by building on rhythms, meters, idioms, intonations, you know, in fact, that the jazz listener would not expect to hear in a jazz context. Tunisian-born, New York-based jazz bass player, Marwan Alam. Welcome to South Africa.
Thank you. Thank you for this beautiful conversation. And Wago, I'm so pleased to be part of this showcase and podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. And I'm pleased to explain this music and all this creative process and how this began in... And thank you for paying attention to this music. This is meaningful to me.
You're welcome. You know, it is possibly your busiest time since the release of the project. And of course, congratulations on a stellar body of work. But let's talk about Marwan and your story with jazz. You know, when did it all begin for you?
So I was born in Tunisia and grew up in Tunisia. And then at the age of maybe probably like 14, 15, it was like... a love for music that I didn't know where it come from, but it happens we have a guitar at home, and I was like really sucked into this magic of learning just music. Maybe luckily we didn't have iPhones at the time or any distraction tools that puts me away from the music, but I was really into music. And then slowly I discovered jazz.
Yeah.
And we had some jazz pioneers in Tunisia that they can play this music, and they showed us how this music works. And then I got introduced to European musician that they were doing a series of masterclasses in Tunisia. Mm. That's how the professional kind of the path opens up. So they were teaching us about this music, and then I was just like listening to any music. Like we're in Tunisia, we have like a good summer festivals season, so I get to see musicians from all over the world, and I just like buy ticket and to see all the concert, anything. I see Youssef N'Dour, I see Salif Keita, I see, you name it, all the African stars, but also the European stars. So, and I get chance sometimes to go backstage and have a conversation. And then I was like thirsty for music. And then I just kept playing, and things picked up. And then I got accepted in school in the Netherlands. And then I was, you're lucky to be in Tunisia, which is like a small scene. So you gotta be playing all the time, right? It's like people in here, and like they don't find access to do gigs.
Yeah.
In Tunisia, we learn through the gigs. Like, let's say I learn through the gigs that I get. It's like every time the gigs that I play, I meet new people, new influence, and you're right there, right on where things started. And it's just like, that's your lesson, basically. Yeah. So the school, it was the gig, it was the work.
That's it.
That's the school for me, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then 2008 or like that's where I went to school in the Netherlands. But before that, I was already playing festivals, and I met a lot of people. I like the jam session 2006. We had like Al Jarreau, Roy Hargrove. So they were there for a week, and then we jammed with them. And these people taught us how to play this music, and they share anything they can do. And it was a big lesson for us.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was lucky to be in Tunisia. It was like we have access to other culture.
Yeah.
So that's actually where the name Bebhar means. This is like when you visit the downtown of Tunis, basically. So you go to the downtown, but when you look, it's like the modern city, but the old town. And then you see street vendors, and then you see the fancy embassy or something, and like really like a very contradictory and a very small like place.
Yeah.
So it's very influential for us. We speak many languages.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the crafted the our personalities in a way. So we are Berber, we are African, we are Europeans, we are Sub-Saharan, yeah. We are Italians, we are, it's all in us.
You know, you play the bass like a gimri. Of course, that is the large plucked northern lute, you know, associated with Nawa music. And at times you're drawing both on inspiration from the likes of, in fact, traditions of Arabic and Andalusian. So let's talk about, you know, these influences and how you've managed to fuse them together so effortlessly.
I mean, the sound of the gimri is in your head. Is like as I'm identify as a North African, that sound is in my genes, you know. That's like this, that's on me. So whenever I pick up the upright bass, I see like, I mean, the gimri is like it's like the ancestor of the bass. It's the bass. That's the first bass instrument on earth, I think. It comes like it got at least like for 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago that the gimbri was created. I don't know the origins, but like actually in Africa there was like different versions of that string instrument, which is just skin, a bass case covered with a skin, and just put some gut strings, three guts. I assume that's like the standard instrument in Africa, but African music is a bass music.
Yes.
African music is all a bass music.
Sounds fantastic, and it's amazing that you just took, you know, household items that turn music into this incredible conversation. Now, speaking of music that is incredible, you're currently based in New York City, and many of the jazz musicians that have, you know, are currently living there or that have visited the city often say that as a musician, you take a piece of it, you know, and it sometimes also creeps into the music as part of that inspiration. Would you say perhaps that you've also been influenced that way?
Yes, indeed. Well, New York City, it's like the place for musician to get their stuff together, to get their things together. So New York City is like, it's the place where there is no ego. There is no, like, I am the thing, like nobody's like me, because back home there's a three of them, or anywhere, South Africa, and you name it, like you have like three musicians and they think they're the kings. Here you have thousands and everybody's better than you.
Wow.
So, and also the potential of collaboration is endless. Like people brings ideas, like I meet people from all over the world, and there is like always a sparkle of trying each other's music. We are like, oh my God, I never played music from Venezuela, or like, teach me something. And it's like, and you get the best.
Yeah.
Not only people who like, but you get the best. And that's the beauty of New York. And then the potential of collaboration and work, the musician can work here in New York. It's like a state of mind also, like a New York lifestyle. So everything is like rushed. He has good things and he has bad things. But for me, the good things are much more than the bad ones. And I think it's good for a certain time in the artist career in general.
Kofifi FM, we are spending time with Marwan Alam this Sunday. He's a Tunisian bassist based in New York City and has just recently released his debut, Bab Bahar. And I want us to unpack this name, Bab Bahar. Of course, named after a gate that connects the old and the new Tunis. You know, and of course, when I heard this, immediately I interpreted it as a project that is bridging old jazz traditions with new contemporary ideas. Was I correct to be assuming this?
That's the right assumption. So my idea is it's that, but also to make this connection more meaningful, like the idea of mixing old and new. It's not a new idea. It's a very old idea as a mixing, but it has to come truly honest. It has to be, it has to have an ID that you. So it's not like I am someone and just trying to mix. No, that's my ID. That's how I grew up.
Yeah.
So I would say the it's like jazz. It's been with me for when since I discovered. So I'm maybe like for 25 years now or something like that, or maybe less. I don't know. Also Arabic music, it's been with me, or African music, it's been with me. So when the creative process started, it's not like, oh, let me mix this and that. And it's like, no, it's just be myself as a composer. And just stuff comes out naturally. It is what it is. And then when you hear the music and it was like, yeah, this is, I can assimilate this to this. So basically the music comes first and then the names comes after as added sounds.
Yeah. Fantastic conversation this Sunday with Marwan. And of course, I want us also, you know, because you're listening to your project as we got ready for you this Sunday. You move so easily, you know, between jazz phrasings and rhythms of Tunis, working with alternative tunings, of course, of the Gimri that we spoke about earlier. Let's talk about your connection, you know, and I love the fact that you said there's several versions of it in Africa, you know, which is true. Your connection, you know, to this this instrument with that finds itself in sub-Saharan Africa as its origin, you know, the Nawa people of Morocco. Now it finds itself again as a centerpiece on your debut. What's that connection?
Well, the connection, it's also being as a dedication to this music. Because I'm from there and I had to dedicate my thinking and my way of composing and way of approaching the music to where I am from. So Gimbri music, it's also part of me. Like I grew up on sometimes like a Gnawa musician that would play in the street. And in Tunisia, we call it Stambeli. So Gnawa, it's the style. North Africa, so they have Tunisia, they call that style Stambeli. Algeria, they call it Diwen. Mm. In Morocco, they call it Gnawa.
Mm.
It's very similar repertoire. So sometimes I know the repertoire of Morocco. I know the Diwen from Algeria. I know the Stambeli. Basically, so this music, it's like we hear it and on a religious, not really, like a Sufi, you know, the Sufism, Sufi kind of style where they celebrate the life of some like messengers or some local people who are, they have them as a spiritual father.
Yeah.
In every town, they have somebody who's like a spiritual, and they chant over it. It's just African, it's Berber tradition, but the Berbers are the natives of North Africa, but this is an African tradition.
Yeah.
So that kind of, I caught a little bit of that when in my childhood. And also, we still celebrate that. And it's like, I wanted to bring that spiritual aspect on the song, Ajmiya. So the single, Ajmiya in Tunisian means foreigners. Ajmiya, Ajam, it's an Arabic word, but we use it for foreigners. So they call the black Stambeli people, because people who play Stambeli music are originally black.
Yeah.
So I was dedicating to I was like a thinking of our black Tunisians who like the white Arabs, they call them as foreigners, but they are the natives. And we still like, it's, I mean, now this is like the literally what it means, but actually tension or any of that. It's we are peaceful, but just like those are names, and sometimes like we sing them and we know, but we don't know what they actually mean. And we are, it's like now it's like everybody plays Stambeli music. It's not like reserved only for Black Tunisians or no. But this is how I was thinking of, like, I name it Ajmiya, and they also have their own language when they sing. The Stambeli music or Gnawa, sometimes they don't sing in Arabic. They sing, they have their own languages.
Yeah, yeah.
The music is the same, so they have a different language in every, and the thing. So that's kind of what I've been going through, the process of particularly that single Ajmiya. That's kind of the whole idea.
Incredible journey through the times, of course, and the inspiration that you draw from, you know, from culture, from background, from home, you know, from the African continent. Kofi FM, you are still listening to the K-Jazz Show, and it is our weekly Page 3 feature, and we find ourselves in New York this Sunday by the way of Tunisia, and with bassist Marwan Alam, whose new project Bab Bahar has been called one of the most fresh and intriguing outings by South African jazz writer Gwen Ansell. And naturally, the K-Jazz Show has the scoop. Now, Marwan, before the musical break, you and I were talking about the creative process, and I also want to tap into, you know, the members of the quartet, you know, that you worked with on the project, who helped you interpret this vision, you know, for the project.
That's a great question. As I mentioned earlier, so being in New York, it's a luxury. It's like it facilitates your musical needs as an artist. If you need basically anything, you find someone who fits your desire, musical desires. So I was lucky that I found people who has a vision towards this music too. So, and they helped me through the process. But actually, I've been playing with these people for quite some time now, for a couple of years. So I had Yassine Bolares on the saxophone on the album, but he's also part of the project. So Yassine, he's a great friend of mine. He's also French-Tunisian. He's been on the African scene for quite some time. So he's been specialized in West African music. He's been touring in Africa for years and years. He has many projects. He has a Ajoyo project. It's like a West African music with jazz and But he's also, he has a vision and a touch for the Arabic music. He's been listening to that music for quite some time. And he got all the ideas that I want like this and snap a finger. It's like, oh yeah, I see what you mean. And he got it right away.
Yeah.
So I was lucky to have him on this record. And he's part of my project. And we've been playing for some years now. So I knew Yassin from Tunisia, actually. We met like maybe 2007 or something. And so our friendship goes way back. And then I have Chris McCarthy, who is a piano player. He's one of the most talented, I would say, piano players in New York scene right now. He's been recording with everybody in most of the records. And he has a great ears. He's been doing like a different project, like Indian music, jazz, traditional jazz, modern jazz, Brazilian. He's like it's like the cherry on top of the cake. You put him in any situation, he would sound fantastic, and he would give you more sound and more what you want. And then I had Samuel Sarkisian on the drums. So Samuel and I, we went to school together in the Netherlands, and he's been amazing drummer, amazing ears, amazing feel. It's like whenever I tell him, like, we want to approach this music in this way, and I gave him some influence of African drummers, and then he goes back and he's like, oh yeah, this is what you want and this is that. So, and they make the music sounds really good, like it feels good. So I've been happy with this quartet, and it's just every time they bring something new to the table, and it's like, and this is what also of being in New York, like the musician, they keep adding to your music, and that's something really beautiful.
Now, Marwan, where to from here? You know, any exciting projects you'd like to share with us? You know, as we wrap up our conversation today.
So, the next steps is more focusing on Arabic music. Is more giving more. As when you release the album, your peers and folks tells you a lot of critics, but then the moment they see you do good on the Arabic sounding, that's like it gives you more as like a signature, you know. And that's kind of the direction also in composition terms, like I think composition also, I there's a lot to do in bringing this Andalusian influence in Arab North African and sounds to the jazz. You know,
incredible. And of course we'll be right there, you know, following in your footsteps, and certainly, you know, sharing thank more you. Of this music on the show. Of course, thank you so much for your time, and thank you so much for being a part of the show and joining us this Sunday.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Absolutely. For having me.
It is always a pleasure. He is Tunisian-born, New York-based jazz bassist Marwan Alam for Page 3 on the K-Jazz Show.